So what do you get when you cross a wizened Gen Xer with a proud millennial?
Here we go.
A mixtape filled with
Britney Spears songs?
Or maybe a rotary landline telephone
that takes selfies?
Maybe a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Or Tom and Jerry each get participation trophies?
No, 21st century solutions.
According to Kaylin and Ramsey.
How you doing today, Kaylin?
Oh, I'm pretty good. It's been a long few days, but
yeah,
coming together.
Yeah. Well, today is April 20th, 2022. And today I'm very excited to say that we are going to break some amazing new ground for the podcast and for the internet itself, really. We are going to talk about our pets. And it's not like literally half the content on the internet is like funny cat memes or funny cat videos, right?
Yes. Which is one of my favorite mind-numbing pastimes.
Well, you gotta numb your mind with something. But Kaylin, I understand this past week you needed to put down your dear Rosie, who you've had for a very long time, and I am so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're gonna talk today about how much we love our pets, and we're gonna try not to make you cry too much. But tell me,
gonna happen.
yeah. Was Rosie really yours, or were you really hers? And what was that like for all of those years?
Oh, I think Rosie and I'm already crying.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think Rosie and I were each other's. We were meant to be. To start out, she was 16 years old this last November. In November, she turned 16 years old, and I got Rosie the January after she was born. So she has been with me since she was about 10 weeks old, and that was 16 years ago. And she has been my very best friend. I joke that she's my soulmate. And she was literally a $50 mutt that I found in the Little Nickel, if you remember. I don't know if the Little Nickel even puts out a press anymore, but
even is the Little Nickel?
The Little Nickel is like a free advertising newspaper, you know, that you would find wherever you're at, a diner or a laundromat, yeah. Or you know.
So if it's around today, it's probably the Little Dime.
Yes, exactly. And I was looking I spent a lot of time home alone at that time, you know, as a 20-year-old, and I was looking for a companion and some protection. And Rosie actually said that she, in the article, it said that she was a Lab Rottweiler mix. I've always loved both breeds. And like I said, I was 20 looking for something that just could be my best friend. I've never cared about breeding or anything like that. And I called, and she was the last one left, and went to go look at her, which, I mean, anybody who knows me, I don't go look at pets. If I'm going, I'm getting the pet. It's just the way it is.
I can hear the air quotes, look, going to the
yes.
Look.
And Rosie was this little ball of black fur with Rottweiler markings. And when I say fur, I mean like long fur. She looked like a baby bear. And I, of course, was like, so I thought she was Lab and Rottweiler. And they're like, well, the neighbor dog might have some chow in it. And you couldn't talk me out of taking her. I could care less if she had longer hair or not. And I brought her home, and she has been by my side ever since. Yes. So she had an amazing beginning in life because she just was always outside. I lived in a small town, out way out of town, right on a creek called Canyon Creek. So she was swimming and running with the neighborhood dogs from the time she was about 6 months old, and just really. I can't even explain how special this dog was. Everybody who met her loved her. My dad and her had a very special relationship. She had a very re special relationship with my dad's dad, or with my dad's dog. Rosie is just she always was tender-hearted and there to put her head on my knee or put a paw on me if she could tell I was upset. And she just amazing. And then Jack and I, my husband, met, and she became Jack and I's dog very quickly. She very
So
took
she approved of Jack then?
yes, she took a serious quick liking to Jack.
Oh, good.
Yes, and allowed him into our lives. She was already three when he came along, and she let him
And
in.
did Jack actually ask her permission to
And
propose to you?
I don't know that he asked her permission, but I definitely wouldn't have said yes if she didn't love him so much.
And Rosie gave you away at the wedding, right?
Yes, so she was in attendance of the wedding, of course, and has been there for all of life's ups and downs for Jack
Oh, man.
and I. As you know, Jack and I in our early marriage went through really hard times. We had our first son was born with a very traumatic birth defect and was in the hospital for over 6 weeks before he did end up passing away. And during those 6 weeks, Jack and I, of course, lived at the NICU. Seattle Children's is amazing to their all of their ICU parents, but especially the NICU parents get to get sleeper rooms in the hospital. And my dad kept Rosie for that time, and when my dad would come to visit, I'm gonna start crying again. I wouldn't even let him talk about Rosie because I would get so emotional because I didn't get to see her for those 6.5 weeks, and she had been my best friend for almost 5 years at that point, and I was really missing her and not having her companionship through that time. But Jack and I, when we got home, my dad brought her right over, and Rosie and I bonded even more through my grieving process. I've never had to go through something traumatic like losing Rosie without Rosie by my side. So that's a new world that I've been navigating the last few days, and just trying to remember all the good memories before she lost her eyesight and her hearing, because she had been mostly deaf and blind for the last 5 years. She had gotten tick fever on a camping trip to Eastern Washington. We had not found the tick, and she ended up getting really sick, and we took her to the vet, and they didn't find the tick either. And then we went back like a week later because she wasn't improving, and they ended up finding the tick and taking it out at that point. But the damage had already been done to her ears and her eyesight. And we knew we were there for the long haul with her. That meant ophthalmology appointments and
She had to get glasses.
So, she is very loved and taken care of. And she when Jack and I moved to town after Rosie had lived on the river for so many years, we moved to town about 6 years ago, and She just took to our neighborhood. Everybody in the whole neighborhood loved her. She'd go out visiting and under a watchful eye of ours, but she just made best friends with everybody, all the dogs in the neighborhood, all the people in the neighborhood, all the kids in the neighborhood. And she just really, I believe, lived her absolute best life. And those are the memories I'm trying to hold on to, and lots of laughs over her naughtiness, because while she was a very good dog and the best companion, she could be super naughty as well. When Jack and I lived in Oso for 5 years, we lived right on a salmon spawning creek. So September and October were always a little dicey letting Rosie out to go to the bathroom by herself. And we lived on 5 acres, so we never put her on a line or anything. We just let her out to go to the bathroom, and she'd come back when she was ready. Every other September and October, when the humpies would run, that would mean you were chancing that you would have to hose her off and then bathe her. Because nothing smells quite like rotting humpy flesh.
Nasty.
And for those listeners who don't know, the humpies are a salmon that are native to Washington and come up our streams in the fall. They usually run every other year, and they are plentiful. And one of, I'm sure, all of the Northwest dogs' favorite time of years. So, anyways, Ramsey, let's talk about you. What is your pets, and what does your life revolve around your pets?
Well, yeah, we've had dogs and cats over the years, also. Right now I currently belong to my cat Butterscotch. Everyone kind of knows it, I think. So we have a dog and a cat right now. Jet is our dog. He's a rat terrier. And we have Butterscotch. So a rat terrier is like a Jack Russell, except quieter, thank goodness. So he's about 20 pounds, and he would be a lap dog if he would sit still long enough. But Butterscotch is as big as Jet, actually. He's just under 20 pounds, and he's very long. He's got just a big body, so he's just gigantic. And he's an orange tabby, so he basically is Garfield. We did put him on a diet a couple of years ago when he was getting to the cartoon stage of I have feet, with the old Garfield cartoons. But he's very svelte now. He's down to an 18.6 pounds of he's down to his fighting weight. But the when I go and sit on the couch to watch TV, he's paying attention. He'll trot up to me and come and lay down on my lap. He doesn't go, and usually it's not the others unless he's like desperate. But and then
He's
I've
definitely
got
your cat.
he is he's definitely my cat. And I've got his brush sitting right next to my spot on the couch, because whenever he comes and sits on me, it's like I can brush out basically another cat's worth of cat hair. And it's good for everybody, because I'm like not allergic to him. Like my daughter really loves him and thinks he's cute, but she's allergic, so she just has to keep her distance. But there's no keeping my distance from Butter. He comes and sits and hangs out with me kind of at any earliest opportunity. But yeah, he's a great cat. And we've had, many other kind of animals throughout the years. But yeah, they really are just a part of the family. And hearing your story with Rosie, it sounds like, you guys were each a blessing to each other, and kind of her whole life and your life up until this point. But I gotta say, like, what is what is the craziest thing that she or one of your pets have done over the years?
Oh, that is a good question. Out of I've had multiple pets over the years. I often joke, my mom does not like inside pets, so I did not have any inside pets growing up. So I often joke that because of my depravity that I've gone overboard in my adult life once I can make my own decisions on pets. Which we all know is a little true. I think the craziest story probably though just happened this last year. When we started this journey, we had two tortoises, as you know, and we were spending 4th of July over in Eastern Washington, right on the Idaho border in Newport with my aunt and uncle who recently retired and moved over there. And it was really hot out, it was typical Eastern Washington summer, and on 4th of July, we let the tortoises out in their yard to roam, something we've done often with the tortoises.
In their yard, they have their own yard. What does that even mean?
Well, at our old, so we adopted the tortoises about a year before this journey, about right around the time that COVID hit. Our neighbor's daughter was moving in with her boyfriend. She's in college, and she'd had them since she was little and just didn't really have time for them anymore, and her dad was taking care of them. And so one day he came down and asked if we would be interested in taking them for the kids. And I'm sure Jack was probably like, "It's not the kids, it's Kaylin." And so we thought about it, and while Jack was at work one day, I got the other neighbor, and we went down to the neighbor's house, and we scooped those tortoises up and brought them home, and got them a new tank and a whole new setup and everything, that fit our house correctly, and a little bit more a wild terrarium than they were used to. And we started letting them out just in our yard while we, our kids play outside a lot. So I sit outside while they play, and I would just let the tortoises out there and watch them. They're tortoises; they don't move super fast, but there would be times we'd be looking for tortoises. So we're in Eastern Washington, camped at my aunt and uncle's house, and it's 4th of July, and I'm like, well, let's let them out. They have a fenced yard, and the tortoises could definitely get out underneath the fence, but pretty easy to see like where they're at because not a lot of vegetation in Eastern Washington. Well, a few hours pass, and Jack's like, "Where's Shelly?" So we have a male and a female. Shelly is the female, and Tank is the male. And we could not find Shelly. So 4th of July, we went to bed without Shelly, just a tank. And we looked the next 2 days, and we were leaving on the 6th. And my aunt and uncle are like, "Well, I guess if we find her, we'll let you know." We
Oh,
joked about
no.
coming back through and picking her up. And the in July, a few weeks later, or towards the end of the month, that we were in Yellowstone. Actually, it was a Saturday, and it was our day that we were going into Yellowstone. And I got a text from my aunt, a picture message, and I open it, and it's a picture of Shelly. They had found her. Well, I shouldn't say they. They have two Great Danes, and their female Great Dane Sissy brought Shelly into the house in her mouth. Oh
Oh man, look what
my
I
gosh. And I
found.
yes, she's like, "Look what I found." And they're like, "Oh my gosh, where did you get her?" Well, the funny thing is that when they found her with him, though, she was already upstairs in their house. They have like a really nice shop house, and so they have like their living area downstairs and a couple bedrooms upstairs, and she was actually sitting at the top of the stairs with Shelly in her mouth. So they don't even know if she'd been in there for like a while or anything. They they just know that all of a sudden Sissy had Shelly.
Oh wow. So did the dog
Yes.
get like the Medal of Honor for that?
Yes. Well,
Like
for me anyways, yes. Exactly. And so yeah, she's hanging out with them now. My said they're both retired, and my uncle was, right to the store to get her fresh vegetables and been taking care of her, and we'll swing by sometime and get
Oh wow. So
her.
Shelly's still there, huh? Living the good life.
Yeah, she's still there living the good life. And then I think the one story I want to, or kind of thing that I found really special about our Rosie, is she loves the water. She has loved the water since the day she was born, probably. She's the type of dog that you have to watch her at all times if you don't want her to get wet, because she will find the smallest body of water to lay in, and it does not matter what color or consistency it is.
Or
But
what percentage of water it is versus something else.
exactly. And in our younger days, before we had our children we have now, Jack and I used to float the river a lot. And Rosie loved to float the river with us. We had one of us would be in a raft with the Rosie, and then the other one on a tube. And Rosie would just sit in the raft up on her haunches, just looking around like she's some explorer, like she's Sacagawea going down the river with Lewis and Clark. And people sitting on the side of the banks would just point and laugh at her.
Yeah, Rosie would wave.
Yes, exactly. So stoic, just sitting there. But she would always, every time we would get to a rough part in the river, she would always jump ship and make me so nervous. Like, I know she's a dog, but you never know, she could jump out in those currents, and a current could take a dog, or she could hit her head, or anything could happen. And I'm always like, sit down, Rosie.
So she would trust her own self swimming more than she would inside the boat.
Yes, exactly.
She's like, what are these idiot people doing sitting inside this boat? They should be swimming right now.
Yes, we should be swimming with the current. Yes, exactly. And we're just gonna miss her so much. Ramsey, what is one of the craziest things your pets have ever done?
Oh man. So we had this cat, Sunshine was the name of the cat. When my wife and I, we had just moved to North Carolina. We lived in Raleigh right after we went to school. And inside cat, the cat never went outside. We were living in an apartment complex. And so one day she managed to get outside, or we let her outside, I don't remember. And she's just sort of walking around. She was like basically like wanted to have a spacesuit. She had no idea this was outer space. She's like, what is this green spiky stuff that I'm stepping on, walking on the grass? Like had no concept of outdoors whatsoever. And she started to get freaked out. And so she jumped up onto the base of this tree. And she's like, okay, I'm hanging off of a tree now. Like, what's this about? And she just starts climbing, and she just starts climbing, and she just keeps climbing. And this tree, I swear, it was like 40 or 50 feet high. It's like one of those trees from, what is it, the Lorax in Dr. Seuss, that's like really tall and doesn't have anything except up on the very top of this tree. So she gets up. It's got to be 40 feet in the air to the first branch. And she like just settles herself into the crook of the branch and the tree, and it's just meow, 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 and just doesn't stop. And this is, of course, is an apartment complex, right? So people are starting to come out, and they're starting to look, and the cat is just up there, and we have basically no idea what we're going to do. And somehow, like, I don't even remember why, there was a, I think there was like people there in the neighborhood that day that were like trimming branches in trees. So it was like the craziest coincidence because after a while, this guy comes up to us and he's like, you know, do you want me to climb up there and get your cat? I'm like, yes, please do that. Please go up there and get our cat. And because the cat had been up there like literally for hours at this point. So he climbs up there with like, he's got his spiked boots and his strap and stuff. And he goes up there and he gets the cat and grabs the cat and sort of tucks it underneath one arm. And the cat is like scratching him. And he brings the cat back down and gives it back to us. And so that's great. So we figure we'll never ever let this cat outside again, because if not, she might, you know, climb the tree again the exact same way the next time that we accidentally let her out of the house, which is exactly what she did. So I don't know, like months later, the cat gets out again. I'm pretty sure we didn't let her out this time because we don't let her out at all, but she goes up the same tree a second time.
Oh, these animals.
Yeah, and we have another cat that had been outside, you know, ever, and knew how to climb a tree and how to climb back down a tree. And so the other cat was like climbing up a tree like that was nearby, and then he would be like meow, 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 and then he turned around and like jumped off. Basically, he's like Sunshine, like you go up and you come back down, like you got to come down backwards because you're not a squirrel, but then you can like jump off. And Sunshine's like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, no. And so, like, she's back up 40 feet up in the air again. And I'm looking around going, this cannot be happening. Like, you know, I don't think they're trimming trees today. Like, I'm not climbing up there. And like, it's not like we're gonna call this guy. We didn't get his number. You know, it's not like I had his cell phone because they didn't exist at that time. So I just like I don't even know what I'm gonna do. And of course, at this time, it's like we're gathering a crowd around the base of this tree, and the cat is like crying and stuff. And I don't know if I don't remember how, but like, somehow I got my hands on one of those baseballs that have like a string tied to it. I don't know if like, I think one of the neighborhood kids was like, hey man, you want to use this?
Want to use my baseball?
So I've got this baseball with a string on. I'm like, yeah, you know, I can just throw it over the limb, you know, and then I don't know after that. But I'm gonna, so I tie like a fishing line to the string because, of course, the string that the ball comes on is a reasonable length. It's not long enough to actually go over a tree branch 40 feet in the air.
Yes.
So I tie on like a fishing line and I'm throwing this baseball, and of course, I can't get it over the branch. You know, easier said than done, right? So, like, all the neighborhood kids, like that are like hanging out underneath this tree, like this is the most exciting thing that's happened all week. So they're like all taking a turn and we're all throwing it. We're all trying to throw this ball over the branch. Like finally I get the ball over the branch, and the whole crowd is like, yes! And like people are cheering and stuff. And so we get the so we've got the ball over the branch. So I tie, like, I've got this big heavy rope that has like knots in it, right? And so I tie the big heavy rope to the fishing line. I pull that over. So now I've got both ends of this really long hefty rope. So all right, so now I'm gonna go ahead and climb up there and get the cat, you know, with the rope. So I start climbing and I get up maybe 10 feet, and I just start rotating Like, I'm just spinning in midair as I'm trying to climb this rope to get to my cat. I'm like, yeah, I really like this cat, but this is not gonna happen. And so I come back down and I've got, okay, so where are we at? I've got a rope on both sides. The cat is still meowing. The cat has not stopped meowing. It's days later. I have an audience. Okay, what's gonna happen next? Oh, Mara, we've got, so we had gotten as a wedding present, we'd gotten a picnic basket. And it's like, okay, this
Now
will
we're
work. I'm sure this will work. I'm sure this will work. This is a movie, right? This will totally work. We're gonna tie the picnic basket to one side of the rope and we're gonna pull the picnic basket up there. And the cat will totally get in.
Yes.
Okay, so wait, why is the cat gonna get into the picnic basket? So we put in what some one of the cat's blankets we put in the picnic basket, and we open up a can of tuna. I
Oh
swear to God,
yes.
you're not making this up.
Oh,
We
it's
open
how to
up a
use the tuna.
can of tuna, and we put it inside the picnic basket, and so we haul the picnic basket up to the top of the branch, and the cat just looks at it, crawls right into the picnic basket. She's like, "Yes, finally, my elevator is here. Like, what took you guys so long?"
Yes, why couldn't you figure this out sooner?
And so Sunshine crawls into the picnic basket again. The crowd is like cheering, and we're like high fives everywhere. It's like, yes, all right, lower the picnic basket, lower the picnic basket. So we start lowering the picnic basket, and it starts lowering down, and it gets to the first knot in the rope, and it sticks.
Oh
And
no.
so the cat is inside the picnic basket, hanging about 6 feet from the top branch, and it's stuck. It's hung up on the knot. And so it's like, oh man, how did I not think of this? So I'm like shaking the rope. You know how you like send a pulse through a rope and it'll like
Yes,
pop up
hoping
and
it will
over
pop
something?
over. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do that and like we get it over the first knot and it goes, kadunk, and it falls down a few more feet. And I'm just imagining poor Sunshine inside of this picnic basket. It's silent now. Like she is not saying a word at this point. Like I can just imagine her like all claws, like gripped into the side of this picnic basket. And so we managed to get her down like a couple more notches, and then somebody had a ladder. And so we got the ladder up against the side of the tree and were able to pull the picnic basket down. It was incredible.
Oh
And
my
so we
goodness.
got this cat out of the picnic basket.
And now the question is, did she ever do it again?
No, thank
Oh,
God. We had
she
her on
learned
100% lockdown. Like that cat never, ever, ever, ever
her
again left the apartment. So we grabbed her out of the picnic basket and we ran up to the apartment and we're like, oh man, we're never letting her out in like happy days. And then must have been that night or the next day, we're like, did we bring the picnic basket inside, or is that still hanging outside in the tree? And so I'm like, I don't think we brought the picnic basket in. So we go out and we look, and there's no picnic basket, but the rope, one side of the rope is still there. So we look up in the tree, and of course, the picnic basket now is completely lodged into, the crook of the branch that it was over. And clearly the neighborhood kids, you gotta figure like the minute that we ran inside, they're like, rope swing.
Yes.
So our lovely apartment complex had a great rope swing for quite a while
The
until it broke. And
fantastic rope swing.
That some hurricane at some point in North Carolina blew the picnic basket out of there, but we did not have a picnic basket, but we did have our cat. So it all worked out great.
That's right. That is absolutely right.
Oh man. But I guess like at some point in this podcast, we should talk about 21st century solutions.
That is
Because
our
I
game.
do, yeah. I mean, I do think that having pets and getting close to your pets, like in all the weirdness today, like what do you think? Like, is that part of the solution? What do you think, Pat? How do you think pets can help people today?
Absolutely. I 100% think that every person who can should own a pet, at least one, if not, dozens. I have a I when service dogs have been along for around for a long time, and I know that there's still a stigma around companion service dogs, but speaking as someone who has, dealt with really hard trauma and anxiety and depression and all of the things that come along with that, pets can literally save your life. Like they give you something to live for. They give you companionship when maybe you cannot seek it in other people. We have four cats, if we haven't mentioned that. And one of those cats, his name is Larry, and we've had Larry for about a year and a half now. And he has taken to our daughter like nothing I've ever seen. She started by just, packing him around like any little girl would. She was 3 and a half when we got him, and or no, she had just turned 4 when we got him, and she started packing him around like any other kid would. And he eventually just was like, okay, well, this is my person now. And when she's having a hard time, and she can't, she's having a hard time, getting through things, or she's like in her bed crying, or just having a hard time, he gets right up there and lays down with her. She has a really hard time sleeping through the night as well, and if Larry's in there with her, she'll sleep till 9 in the morning uninterrupted. And that to me right there is proof of what how important and impactful pets can be in people's lives is Larry and Malia's friendship, I would call it. Very.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I really think that animals have that potential. You know, that there's in this remote world that we have now, in this sort of moment in time where all this stuff is remote and people are isolated, you know, having animals there just as a touch point, like in real space, and you know, they're warm and furry and nice, and
Yes.
it's comfort, but it's beyond that. It's just like human connection.
Right. Yes, exactly. Emotional connection to something is so important. And our pets just really do that for us, if you let them, I know there's people out there who are not animal people, and each to their own. But if you let a pet into your life, and they can sense that you love them and that they can trust you, they're 100% going to be there for you when you need them.
Yep. Are the tortoises as cuddly?
Not so much. No, not so much. Tank, he likes to basically just eat and then sleep. And Shelly, she'll eat and sleep, and she likes to do some fast walking every once in a while, obviously.
Hanging out with a Great Dane.
Yes, exactly. So I think that pets are an absolute necessary 21st century solution. As you said, we are all kind of compartmentalized into our own homes now. Things are getting back out there as we get farther into 2022. But for the last 2 years, we've all just been at home. And Jack and I have looked at each other so many times and said that, before we left on this journey, we were up to 10 pets. And I said, what would we be doing with ourselves if we didn't have these 10 pets to keep us entertained for the 2 years that we couldn't be out and about?
I mean, your trailer is basically just a big terrarium anyways.
Right, exactly. Just a big terrarium, and we've been very fortunate to not have lost any pets by sneaking out yet. We did have an incident when we were in Idaho where a screen had been opened in Malia's room and we didn't realize it. And of course, our two cats that never ever even try to go out, Clyde and Malia's Larry, left the trailer in the middle of the night and we didn't know. And it actually happens to be the day we went to Yellowstone and found out we found Shelly. We lost two cats that day, unknowing to us. And we got back and Larry was at the trailer, sitting there waiting for us. And Clyde, who is our orange and white cat, who's caused us lots of trouble, kind of like your cat in the tree climbing. He's ridden in my engine to the baseball fields and got picked up by the fire department, which then we found out later that night. Had no idea. We knew he was out, but we thought he was out somewhere at home. Did not know that he had taken a ride in my engine, and ended up posting him in the fire department. We have friends on the fire department, and they reached out and they're like, "We think we have your cat. We got him out of an engine at the Boys and Girls Club today." This darn cat, like he's light orange and white, and he was black. I had to give him a Dawn dish soap bath, like he's a penguin
Like
oil.
the
Yes.
Exxon
Exactly.
Valdez. Well, that has got to be at least two of his lives right there.
Right, exactly. And his little paws were all burnt. Don't know how that happened, but probably from touching something hot. Um,
Oh,
and
man.
it was in he's Owen's best friend, my 8-year-old, and it was when he was missing, it was scary. Thankfully we got him back that time. And then here we are in Idaho, and he's missing again. And it actually took us 4 days to find him. We found him the day before we left. We were all so sick. This cat means the absolute world to Owen. And of course, here we are on this adventure, and Owen's away from all of his human friends, and has just Clyde. What I don't know what spurred Jack and Owen to go down and look under a cabin that was on the other side of the RV park from us, and there they found Clyde.
Wow.
And we think he'd been under there the whole 4 days. But we got tuna, and he ended up coming out, and we were able to get him, and we were actually leaving the next day, and I just am like, Clyde, this cat, when are you going to learn?
Oh man, they don't learn.
No. So they may be solving some 21st century solutions, but as we've obviously addressed today, they cause some 21st century problems too.
Oh man. Yeah, but you gotta love them.
Do absolutely. I cannot ma imagine the life without the six that we have now. They are an absolute joy in our lives, on top of the human kids that we have,
Yeah.
and
Well,
can't.
Kaylin, we should wrap it up.
Yes.
But thank you so much for sharing, and I know it's been tough for you, but such a time and an experience and a companion that you had, and she'll be with you in spirit. She'll be swimming down the river of life right next to
Yes.
you in
Well,
spirit, I
thank you.
guarantee you. All right. Have a great day. We'll talk
You
to everybody
too.
later.
See you guys later.